It's the 5th of July, the day after Independence Day 2021. And I'm making the normal trip off to crash site. Actually, well, no, this is Monday. I'm doing it on Monday, so I'm not really very. Well, I have a short week coming. I had a long weekend. I'm having a short week. It's really nice to have a holiday on a Monday. Because it's almost kind of having a holiday that goes on for a little longer. I'm not saying that I'm unhappy with holidays that fall on a Friday, you know, but when they're over, they're over. And it's just back to normal. When you have a Monday holiday, you get the 3 days off. And then you get 4 days, and then you've got 2 days off, and you're going, wow, this is kind of groovy. So I guess I like Monday holidays the best. Now we're entering one of the long stretches. Well, no, I can't say that because I'm taking a day off to go up to, I'm taking a Friday off, in 2 weeks. So I'm kind of chipping away at the really long, no holiday break. It's kind of a long one for, you go from July 4th all the way out to Labor Day. You know, the first, what is it, Friday in September? First Monday in September. And I think that ends up technically being the longest stretch between holidays. So you get to September, you know, that first Monday in September, which is usually Labor Day, and you get that off, and it ends up being kind of the intro to cooler weather, fall, you hope. So it's pretty nice. Don't know what this summer is going to hold for us. June, the end of May, the beginning of June was really, really pretty hot. It does remind me that was when I was off in Hawaii, so that was interesting and different. But anyway, but good. Still some more thoughts about, what's the term now? People of color. I have absolutely no idea what that means. That used to mean black people. Now I guess it's supposed to represent anybody who isn't the hated and despised European. And you have to understand that that also counts for Jews. You know. There was a guy when I worked, when I went to work for New Mexico State back in 2004. It's December of 2004, at the very end. 2005, really, for lack of anything more interesting to say. But there was this fella I think he was, and I don't know the term for it, we call what he speaks Ladino. I don't know if that can also be applied to them as a people, but I met a guy who came to whose ancestors came to the New World through Spain, and from any objective view of him, he was pretty typical Hispanic. I think that's hilarious because I know some Filipinos who are mistaken as Hispanics all the time by other Hispanics, because, can I be honest, the whole appellation Hispanic is really, it really doesn't mean a whole lot. It means that you, in some part, have a Spanish heritage. Although, it gets equally applied to, apparently, people from Brazil, who usually don't have a Spanish background. They have a very mixed one. And I mean really mixed. And often, even in that mix of so many things, probably Spanish isn't one of those things. Lots of Europeans, heck, lots of Germans, what are you talking about, who came over to escape getting into trouble because they were members of the Nazi party. Anyway, so yeah, so I tell you, yeah, that when I tell you that anything that's not people of color, which probably fits almost everybody in the United States, because most people in the United States don't have a, quote, pure European background. Mine's pretty close, but, you know, but not. You know, some branches of my family were totally hated in Europe, and so sticking them together isn't terribly interesting, but, you know, they, you know, people who are segregating other people really don't care. I find it interesting because blacks have gotten extremely, what's a good term for it? Pushy? Yeah, I think so, you know, jerky about the fact that they aren't being treated as well as they think they should be. There's this whole thing made up that, like, there's this great white conspiracy, you know, White people have a secret handshake or something. There's some kind of thing, and, you know, if you're white, there are several million dollars of money that's passed under the table to show how much fraternity white people have. And I always say, you know, I must be stupid, or I didn't go to the big white people meeting when they explained how you were supposed to signal back and forth your patriarchal domineering whiteness. Anyway, you know, I don't think I'm white trash, I don't think. My wife certainly does not want to be treated that way. And, but we're probably a lot closer to that than we are to the wonderful ruling elite. You know, I didn't go to an elite college. And I'm sorry that's screwing up the great cultural narrative of people who now say that they're systemically oppressed. I'm not saying that they didn't used to be systemically oppressed. I just don't really think it's happening much today. Except for the fact that I think there's kind of a backlash these days. I think a lot of people stay away from black people. The stereotype is that they're violent. If you say anything to them, it will be taken as a, what's the term, diss? Yes, I think that's a term. Anything you say to them is a diss. The smartest thing to do about them is just to stay away from them. Well, you know what? That's kind of turning the tables on black people in the main. You know, am I going to hire somebody into my company that's going to be jerky, demanding, say that they deserve more than they're giving, and if you do not appease them on every single level they can think of, that you are a racist bigot? And you're going, I don't want to have anything to do with people that might do that. You know, and so everybody says, well, you can't stereotype. You can't say they're all going to do that. And you're going, well, okay, here's the problem. Here's the rub. If you're talking about just a very vocal minority of black people that are making this kind of trouble and making these kinds of things, I'm sorry, I don't see decent black people, or quote supposedly decent black people, attempting to distance themselves from those things, or attempting to speak out against that kind of persona, kind of the gangster, I'll cap you kind of guys. Because, can I be honest, I think most black people kind of like it. Kind of like having that reputation, deserved or not. I'm sorry, I'm going to say it, and you'll say, you're being a bigot. I'm going, no, I'm talking about reality. Well, no, it's okay. Call me a bigot. I'm more correct and honest than you are. how many black people, and I'm, you know, and you can call them whatever you want to, these sorts, timid, or just hanging back, don't really want to make waves, don't really want to make problems. They sit back on their haunches, and they kind of smile and giggle when they see the black people. They aren't respected so much as they're feared, and they equate the two together. Hey, you know, if I scare people, then they'll respect me. And you go, no, they won't respect you. They always get so upset. How come there's disproportionate number of black people in prison? And you're going, can I tell you a couple of reasons why? It's because of this. A lot of black people, whether they're gangsters or not, dress up like they're gangsters. A lot of them acquire for themselves a gangster vehicle. You know, the ones that have the, you know, the fake gold plate all over that vehicle. Maybe have those spinning rims. That was kind of the thing, I guess, a few years ago. And you know, these are the people that will come back and say, hey, dude, I'm not, you know, I want to get a decent paying job. And when you come up dressed like a gangster and driving the vehicle a gangster would have to come and get a job, what am I supposed to think? Why would I consciously hire somebody who looks like a gangster? And they say, well, you can't do that. You can't, you know, and these things are getting a lot of traction, you know. People are getting into customer service oriented things with all kinds of weird hair color. It was goth back in the day, and everybody said, boy, you better not, you know, and it became the whole thing of, you better hire them, or, you know, the social justice warriors, the employment officials from the state, they're going to come down on you as a bag of hammers for discriminating. And you're going, well then, why should I even bother, you know, don't even bother trying to be choosy, which I think is what's happened to most employers, is they just sit there and they say, hey man, if they can fill out the application, you know, a good deal of them do a drug test, that filters out a lot of people, but you're going to get in trouble for doing that too, because, I'm sorry, does that discriminate against people of color of whatever particular bent they tend to be? And I guess statistically it does. And I think a lot of people really want to say, no, you can't do drug tests, because then you won't be hiring as many people of color as you should be. Which really is, that's all you should hire. You shouldn't hire any other sort of people. So the smart employer these days don't even bother interviewing. They don't really care what your experience is, because it really doesn't matter. If somebody like you shows up, you're going to get the job. Because if you don't give them the job, you're a bigot! And who wants to have that said about them? So anyway, and guess what? That stirs up a certain stereotype. So when people come and they say, hey, you're stereotyping, blacks or Hispanics or stuff like that, you go, you know what? I'll treat you like an individual when you start behaving like an individual. That doesn't mean you have to act like a white guy. If you don't want to be lumped in with the gangbangers, if you don't want to be lumped in with the bouncy car cholos, if you don't want to be if you don't want to be identified with that group, my advice is don't dress like them. Don't behave like them. Because almost all these stereotypes, they weren't developed by people outside the culture. The white people didn't create the stereotypes. The individual groups did. And all these guys, they want to be a part of that group. It's somewhat natural, but it's destructive. It's like, man, don't, you know... If you don't want to be treated like some guy who at some turn, or if some black guy, some black convict, gets taken down by the police the wrong way, don't look like you're going to be one of the people that's going to smash down the front door tomorrow and loot the store. If you want to get a job, don't behave like that. Don't dress like that. Don't talk like that. Don't, you know, it's really kind of the whole thing about how come you guys all kind of talk with the same sort of inflections? It's like gay people. Gay guys really play up a certain voice. They really play up being limp-wristed. Now, they've done a really good job of making sure that if you react at all to that in any way that they don't approve of, you're toast. You know, you're gonna end up on the wrong end of a ton of lawsuits. But yeah, it's like, wait a minute, you're really going through a whole thing to try to identify it a certain way. You know, you dress in pastels, a lot of pinks, and you're trying to signal to others that this is the kind of person you are. It's typically so that other people... It's kind of a uniform for that group. If you don't behave that way, the group won't accept you. And I guess what it comes back to is it says, you know what? I said, what's more important to you? To be accepted by that group or to do something else? And guess what? You're behaving stereotypically. And so, I don't want to hear about, don't stereotype me, says my advice is, what am I doing? Don't behave in a stereotypical way. Oh. Good, check up here. I'm sorry. Oh, he decided to pull out right back in the road right in front of somebody. Wow. What a wonderful guy. But I know that plenty of us have our heads just kind of looking straight ahead, not paying attention. I understand. And I understand blacks and Hispanics, but, you know, said, if you want to be treated better than your stereotype tends to get, my advice is to avoid the things doing and wearing and acting and talking like a person who's stereotypical. A lot of black people they have their own inflections, their own way of talking. We used to call it Ebonics when they were trying to make it like kind of a protected dialect of English, kind of like pidgin down in the Caribbean. They try it for a little while, and I don't think it really caught. It didn't really catch on. Because it wasn't really catching on. There were too many black people that were articulate, didn't talk like, yo man, go, you know, I don't even know how it goes, but yeah, I think you get the picture. And whenever another black person came into view, you couldn't hardly understand what they said. They were doing weird handshakes, and it's like, what did I hire? A gang member? They're talking in code, and they're doing all this weird stuff. Almost like black people as part of the stereotype and as part of trying to fit in to kind of the gangster sort of persona that they feel like will get them the most success. They actually dumb down their talk. They may very well be intelligent. But they're certainly not going to talk that way. They're going to say, shh, and fling around the N-word like crazy, which is a code word. It's a word they can say amongst themselves with impunity, but if anybody outside of the quote gang says it, you're in big trouble. And you're going, yeah, this is, do you not see this as gang behavior? Do you not see this as an us versus them stuff? And they're angry because we have stuff and they don't. And you're going, then I'm sorry. Seems like the first thing I would do is I'd stop associating with them and start trying to pick up attributes that aren't, that will help you get the things that you would like to have. But the funny thing is, I guess a lot of them don't simply don't want to do that. And the thing that they're most likely to do is to get belligerent. You know, you're dissing them. Women get really pushy. Guys will just beat the crap out of you. And you're going, so why am I going to help you along in your progression toward prison? Because you're trying to be the tough guy. You know? I'm just going to avoid you. Guys have taken over certain parts of town. We just avoid those parts of town. You get really upset about it. Complain to politicians. The politicians preen in posture. They don't really care if they help you or not. All they care about is, if I pander to you just a little bit, you'll vote for me. Any money or special treatment you get, mostly from the government, and the rest of us kind of have to fall into line to a certain extent, because if we don't, we'll get punished for it. That doesn't breed respect. That breeds a little bit of fear and a crapper load of resentment. And you're going, I'm sorry. I have no respect for people that behave like that. You can call me whatever name you want. It's not going to elicit respect. Black people who join a police force and become authority figures. That's what police are. They're authority figures. We, as a nation, I can't say as a culture because we don't have one culture, we have many. The most honored cultures respect police. It doesn't matter what color they are. It doesn't matter what their background is. It doesn't matter any of that. And you notice a very pointed change among these people. They don't tend to talk like gangbangers anymore. Sometimes they'll slip into it a little when they're having to deal with somebody that just seems to be the only kind of communication that they'll even respond to. Like anybody else, if we give people of color, whatever shade it tends to be, if they enter fields of respectability, not only do they get respect, but you know what? They act respectable. The weird way of talking, the weird way of dressing, the really the quasi-gang stuff starts going away. And that's what needs to happen. We have enough problem with gangs and gang-like groups, people. And the police can't tolerate these kinds of things too much. At all. In the face of everything that's going on, in the face of George Floyd situation, all these things, you're finding that the respectable people police officers especially are simply walking away from it. You know, their job is enforcing the law. If they're going to live in a world that has a stratified legal system that basically lets black people get away with nearly anything, you know, Hispanics get some of that, which is part of the whole problem with the people of color thing. Hispanics really want some of the street cred that black people have developed over the years. Some of them. Now you have to understand, I live in New Mexico. Hispanics are the majority culture where I am. Most of them are very respectable. Only because to a certain extent, they run a lot of things. A lot of the Hispanic problem here, because Hispanics have always run this state to a large extent. Sizable Navajo and Apache. Populations here as well. lot of them are respectable too. Anyway, so New Mexico is kind of a weird outfit. Arizona shares that a little bit. California, yeah, a little. Surprisingly, less than they do where it is here. California is not half Hispanic like New Mexico is, like Arizona probably used to be. Regardless. So it comes down to the same thing. You could say bigot to me all day long, and I'll say, well, you have now identified yourself as a stereotypical whatever. Social justice warrior, if you're white. Crazed lunatic person of color. To a large extent, that's among women. The women get shrill. You know, the guys seem good. Ted Cruz? Sorry, his last name exposes it. Cruz. Dude's Hispanic. What are you going to say? And you're going, dude, he's wrong. And you go, why? Because he's not Democrat? And because he's not screeching at the top of his lungs about how bad everything's been? He chose a different road. And that different road has led to him being respected. Not just among his birth group, or whatever you want to call it. You know, he's respected by a lot of people from a lot of different groups and a lot of different agendas. So, yeah. And you're going, that's why he's going to be successful, and that's why somebody like AOC is going to end up kind of being a flash in the pan. As long as she's shrill and she can keep cameras pointed at her, and she isn't doing as good a job as she used to do. You know, She's kind of liking the perks of being a congressperson. And so she doesn't give off that whole, you know, kind of girl from the hood sort of vibe anymore. It's starting to wear off, because, you know, she's wanting to rise in the Democratic Party hierarchy. That's what it ends up being. If you invest yourself too far into these different kind of group identities, group ideologies, you'll start hitting brick walls fast. And if you don't like having those brick walls there, you're going to have to find a different tact. And that's true of anybody, of any group. You can scream all day long this because people are racist against black people or Hispanics or people from Iran or something like that, Persians. You can tell yourself that all day long, and that may buy you a little bit more of a cred in your identity group, but it's not going to do anything for you for getting out of that, for not being anything but a token that person in the larger world, and you will find yourself shut out from these sorts of things. You know, you might be able to get a talk show. Who's the guy? Al Sharpton. You know, his the biggest thing he's been able to do is now he's got his own talk show on a third or fourth rate TV news channel that nobody really watches. But they'll bring it up every now and then if he says something really incendiary, or if he really calls out, you know, something really loudly. Otherwise, he can be safely ignored by everybody else because he's in that weird sweet spot between being trying to be accepted by respectable company, yet still trying to be that street cred person. So yeah, is AOC gonna fade off? Yeah, or she's gonna totally sell out where she came from. If she can successfully make the transition from being, you know, reactionary woman of color that was basically steered into Congress by a certain interest group. Well, what was that thing called? I forget. Radicalize America, social. I really forget what it was. And she was told what to say and what to do, and she auditioned for it. It was almost like trying to get a part in a TV show or a movie. She auditioned for the fact that they were going to work hard to get somebody that either would be their kind of person or would be their patsy in Congress. And she won the audition, and they worked hard to get that done, and it got done. You know? Now, if she wants to stay in there, and she wants to rise any at all in the structure, which I would imagine she would very much like to do, she'll probably have to throw that group that helped her get there in the first place under the bus. She'll probably have to do that. We're all behind him anyway, man. I'm sure he's saying, hey, that was my turn. You go, dude, you're driving slow. We were all driving slow because of this guy. You know, sorry. I hope I'm not just ticking you off altogether. Anyway, oh, the price went up. Oh, I'm already here. Who cares? It was 302. Now it's 309. Sheesh. Oh, well, whatever. I'm here. Let's get some gas. I could have made the whole trip on one tank. But why not? So, yeah. You know. To a certain extent, she's going to have to get past what got her there in the first place. She's pretty much going to have to ditch the person of color type of thing. Kind of like Maxine Waters. You know, she got in there because she was black. On one level. Oh, man, I can't get in there. But then, thank you. Sorry. But now, it's like nothing. She is a caricature of that. It isn't her. She certainly doesn't want to, you know, she's far more powerful than that. Black people have to kiss her butt now. If they want something from her. I'm going to pause this and then we're going to come back. All right, I'm back. And about the whole thing, you know. And this isn't just true of, like, government, Congress, stuff like that. It's just true of life. To a certain extent, if you want better, you're going to start behaving better. And people will notice. People will notice. The only problem is, I remember, black fella, journalist, smart guy, smart, very, very respectable, very articulate, all those things. And there was a, he got asked a question by, I think it was by some black kid. And it was, how do you get past being an Oreo? And it had to be explained. It means black on the outside, white on the inside. Which is a weird thing that black culture, I think, still retains to this day. Which is, you know, you need to keep yourself low, you need to keep yourself down, you need to fit in with your affinity group, because if you try to rise up and you try to just become a successful person, period, under anybody's estimation, the group will tear you down. The group will try to drag you back down to their level. That's what being an Oreo meant. I don't even remember what he ended up responding to about that. I think he was kind of nice about it. I know for me, it would have been a dismissive thing. It says, no, I wasn't gonna, be kept down to that kind of a standard. If my skin color was gonna be an impediment to my aspirations in life, then, you know, it's not that I wasn't gonna identify that way. It's there. You can see it. Says, but was he gonna talk like a black person? No. Was he gonna flash gang signs and do mannerisms like a black person? And you go, no, he wasn't gonna be behaving like that anymore. Of course, he was trying to be a role model for other people that came from his background, other black people. To show them what they could do. I don't know if rap music really helped in that. You know, a lot of black gangsters got really rich off of rap music. Of course, a lot of them are now dead because of the culture around it. You know, it was all about angst. It was all about talking about your experience. It was a interesting form of kind of poetry and expression. And it was popular for a while. I don't really think it's very popular anymore. It was kind of a fad. It was kind of like disco, I guess. And you can still, it's still out there, but it does not begin to be as influential as it once was. At least I don't think so. White people were emulating this thing, and they were bizarre. To see a white person with cornrows which was something that you that was done to little that was a hairstyle for little black girls. It's kind of like the black version of pigtails. To see a white guy doing that, basically wearing black people's clothes, trying to talk like black people, all that stuff. And what was that guy's name? Eminem? Anyway, you just look at him and you go, oh my gosh, you are trying so hard to succeed in this, practically black-only club. I don't know where he is now. I don't know where he fits into anything. You know, he might still be successful enough to be making it. But yeah, it was hilarious. It was hilarious to me. But, you know, and I'm sure he'd come and he'd beat the shit out of me. And that's one of those terms. I'm sorry. And I used it and I apologize. He would come and beat me up just to prove that he was better than I was. Because around a lot of those things, that's how it works. You know, if I beat the crap out of you, I own you. And I, you know, and it's like, you know, it's okay. I'll clean up. I'll leave your interesting neighborhood. I will go back to my job someplace else. And, you know, you might do some time for assault, which only helps with your cred, your street cred, right? You'll sell some more albums because of that. That was that really interesting culture there. Bizarre beyond all reason, but that's what it was, you know? It was a prison culture. I don't mean to be rude. I've worked in prisons. I've worked in one prison. Okay, that's not making it sound like I've worked in a lot of them. I worked in prison. And that's how you survive in a prison, is by beating the crap out of other people or intimidating them so bad that they back down. The most successful person in a prison is the guy that does not back down, that never has to back down. And sadly, that's what kind of is black culture. You know, these black women, usually fat. Sorry, just gonna say it, fat. Usually fat. That's their biggest thing. You know. And you're going, dang, you're a gang member. The little miss, I'll never back down. And she'll use every ounce of that fat to steamroll you. And, you know, she gets to take advantage of a lot of societal things. Number one, you're not supposed to hit a woman, so you just kind of back off. And she sees that as weakness. So she pushes forward, right? getting into your face even harder. And you're going, I don't care. And using swear words as a tool to do the same thing, you know. I can use more of them more quickly and with more intimidation than anybody else around me, I win. And you go, okay. You know, that's what wins it in your culture. And you're going, and if you can use the power of government or the power of societal pressure to get yourself into like a corporation, that kind of behavior might get you a little ways down the road. You're going to have to develop a lot more sophistication to get very far that way. You can't just be a big bully. I don't care what they tell you. You just can't be a big bully and accomplish that. You have to have a little bit more finesse to make it when you get to a certain point. So it can only really get you so far, no matter where you apply it. It just won't get you any further. And that's kind of the whole problem with the whole thing. You know, we were talking about it again, you know, the whole thing about, you know, this is the Independence Day for white people. And you're going, you know what? It says, you guys are so ungrateful. It says, look how many white people died to free you from slavery. The really funny thing is, and you'll never hear this from anybody except maybe some really guys who just don't care on the right will let you know something that just pops a hole in your whole worldview. And it's the whole thing. He said, the majority of black people in the United States today are not descendants of slavery. Or not predominantly descendants of slavery. A lot of them were for black people that came to the United States after slavery was abolished. Why? Because America's the best place to be. It's the best place to be. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what your skin color is. I don't care what anything there is. Why do you think they're streaming crowds of thousands of people from Central America willing to practically kill themselves to get to the United States? Is it because we're a racist nation and we're going to crush them into dust? I don't think so, because if that were true, they'd stay right where they are and continue to be oppressed there. They're willing to take the chance. They've seen Hispanic people that do better in the United States. They've heard the story of the Hispanic kid who did farm labor when he was young. But he took advantage of the wonderful opportunities that America offers to anybody who will put forth the effort and a little bit of drive and a little bit of ambition. Oh my gosh, you'll go far. More ambition than I have. That's what they're coming to America for, is that. You keep saying it's because conditions in their home are terrible. And I'm not going to say it's not bad that they are stuck in a social system that will not let them succeed. Just will not let them succeed. Period. that's kind of the way a lot of countries are. You know, they're very socially stratified. The social justice warriors want things to be social stratified here, too. But it's like, why? You can break free. Everybody can break free here. I don't care if you're ugly. I don't care if you're crippled. I don't care. If you put forth the effort, you can do some stuff. That's why everybody from every country, every other country besides the United States, wants to be here. And the hilarious thing is, so many people from the United States want to be somewhere else. And trust me, the people who are coming the other way look at you like you're an idiot. And you want to know why they look at you like you're an idiot? Because, let me clue you in, you're an idiot! Why do you want to go someplace else? I mean, maybe when you've made your fortune in the United States, which is where you come to make a fortune, man. This is where you come to be successful. Maybe someday you might not mind going back home because you're going to come back home rich. You're going to come back home maybe on even a different social level because money talks in those places. And trust me, you'll be flashing your U.S. passport around saying, look, I'm an American, because Americans can go to Costa Rica, for instance, and, you know, they have a cook, they have a housekeeper, and these aren't rich ones. These are just standard, run-of-the-mill, middle-class Americans of whatever persuasion. You can say, oh, they're all white, and you go, not necessarily. Could be Hispanic, could even be black. Doesn't matter. It says, but yeah, if you ever wanted to live in a situation where you didn't want to have to cook your own food anymore, you didn't want to have to clean the house or wash the clothes or do all the stuff that our culture here in America kind of makes you do, because we have a real problem with service here, being in service, where down in Central America, it's like, dude, that's a job. And frankly, it's a better paying job than most down here. I'll gladly be a servant to some retired American who may have my same last name, who may have my same skin color. But once upon a time, they decided to put on whatever shoes they had and start hiking north. And they knew that they would probably get through that border. They knew that some Democrat was going to basically ejaculate all over them, give them a citizenship, give them grants and help in exchange for the hope of a vote. And you know what? Who cares? These are the same guys that would happily clean your toilet every day because it paid pretty good down in Costa Rica. If you give them a citizenship so they don't have to live like a pig forever, and you just kind of say that, you know what, most people like this, they know that they should be voting Democrat. They don't care. They'll vote Democrat if they think that's what helps them along. Absolutely. And the Democrats know it. That's why they do it. And you go, that's fine. The Republicans do other things to other people. Democrats go for immigrant votes. Republicans go for lots of donations from rich, successful people. And the only time one of these people, you know, The only time a guy from Costa Rica will probably choose to all of a sudden start voting Republican is when they get their success. So, and you know, whatever. I don't care about immigration. I think it's fine. I think it takes real courage and real perseverance to make that huge trek. Now, I do know that nice people along the way will be very, very helpful, you know, and you'll get help along the way, and when you get to the United States, there's going to be a lot of nice people that are going to help you out, but it's still going to be the whole thing of, man, are you going to, the great American dream, man, that you can put forth some effort, you can work hard, and it's actually going to pay off for you. While in many countries, and in Latin America, many countries in Latin America are the same way. It doesn't matter how hard you work. It doesn't matter how hard you labor. You're stuck. Your chances of getting out are zilch by just working hard. So I understand completely why they come up here. And am I going to be in their way? Gosh, no. I'm probably going to be working for one of them soon. If I haven't several times, and if I am not already now working for them, and you're going, dude, they put forth the effort, they're successful. They figured out how to do it, and they did it. Only resentful victim people. Now, they swear up and down that it was due to these kind of social justice warrior types that these guys got their opportunity to do it. I said, I doubt that. I could tell you that more often than not, it's because they were willing to do what needed to be done to get to where they are. And they wanted it. They wanted it that badly. And that's how it gets done in the United States. Much more of a meritocracy than almost any place else in the world, which is why everybody wants to come here. And that's why I get so, you know, the most ungrateful people, the number one group that seems to be the most ungrateful and that thinks that is the road to what they want out of life, which is pathetic because it even at its best, it ends up being a pathetic life, is people who decide that they need to identify themselves as people of color. And they go, oh my gosh. Says, trust me, that's about the first thing you need to decide to get out of. Unless you're looking for a good stepping stone to getting into politics or government service, you should get yourself away from that people of color identification. It's only going to help you up to a certain point, and it's not very far. Now, when you get powerful, you can pander to that, and it can be a useful tool. And that's what these groups tend to be, is they just tend to be, and I'm sorry, it sounds like a huge diss, because it probably is. You're a tool. You're sitting there being a tool. The only problem is a lot of these people want trinkets and what small benefits they get from allowing themselves to be used as a tool for some of these people. Actually, I'd have to say for a lot of these people, it's sufficient for them. That's their choice. That's okay. But guess what? I have no respect for that. Especially if you're going to get out and scream and yell about how Whitey's keeping you down. You go, the only person keeping you down is you and your insistence on identifying the way you do and saying that you're being held down by somebody else. The only one holding you down is you. You could knock the dust off of you. You could decide to get out of the projects. You could decide to do 20 things, and you would stop being that person. I love Bill Cosby. I know Bill Cosby is like, oh, he's so terrible. He's such a terrible person. And you go, you know what, though? Number one, he was right about black people, which was nobody holds down black people better than black people do. And he really took him to task. To say, pull up those bootstraps and do something. If it's going to be comedy, be the best at it. Be good at it. Make it happen. Put forth the effort. And that's true, and I'm sorry, that's not just for blacks, that's for anybody. That's for anybody. Now, you know what? You can always choose at what point you're okay, you're fine. I think at this point in my life, I'm pretty much okay with where I am. I'm not interested. I think I dreamed of being a master of the universe in the past. I think I did, and I just don't care anymore. Probably because I'm not willing really to put in the effort. But you know what? You know what I know? That's me. That's on me. That's my decision. I did that. If I'm not as high as I could have been, or as I should have been, and I worry sometimes that's going to come back to haunt me at judgment when God says, I'm not going to give you exaltation because I knew you could have done better in earth life and you weren't really willing to put in the actual work for it. And exaltation's for workers, man. It isn't for guys kind of sitting back. You're going, yeah, I'm kind of a guy that sat back. I'm going to talk about that more in a subsequent recording today. You know, I'm going to talk about some things I've been thinking about. I'm not going to say that it's really inspired. It might be. But, you know, I don't speak for anybody except for me and what I've seen and what I've heard. And I'm not willing to sit here and stake my reputation on it. But anyway, you know, I don't respect anybody who thinks that they have been held back or repressed or anything by anybody else. Trust me, everybody and it has nothing to do with your skin color, anything about it. We all have a ball of crap we have to deal with. Some of it's obvious, some of it's not. And I think the biggest leap forward is the day when you say, you know what? If I don't have what I think I deserve, I need to stop blaming other people and I need to start blaming myself. And then I can start making the improvements I need to make this happen. Especially in the United States of America, there are no glass ceilings. There are no if you're a woman and you feel like you're not getting into the executive ranks of a company that you think you deserve to be an executive in, you know you can start your own business. You know you can go to a business that doesn't have a glass ceiling. You know you can, there's several directions you can go in to, you know, you're saying, well, you're not breaking through that glass ceiling. And you go, who cares? You can skirt that one and get past it. You can get above that. It's easy, though. Well, it's not, I'm not going to say it's easy, but it's certainly doable. In fact, it's very doable these days. You know, you can say, well, I invested years and years and years in this, and you go, quit whining. Don't whine. I can't believe somebody who's really put in a lot of effort, risen in management to a quite high level, and then starts whining about a glass ceiling. It's like, okay, I just lost all respect for you. In fact, if after you've said that, you went over to like a woman-owned corporation, if I was the woman in charge of that corporation, if I was the woman CEO of that corporation, and you came over there and said, hey, I've been held back by this other company who wouldn't let me be an executive in their company because of my ovaries, I'd be the first one to say, well, I'm not going to give you the chance here because I'm sorry. I am not going to promote a whiner. I'm not going to have that kind of person sitting in my most important meetings. That's a crappy attitude, and I don't want people with crappy attitudes. We want to be successful, not a bunch of people who are saying what's not letting us succeed. It's the same for everybody, man. You can say I'm a bigot all day long, but you know what? I'm right, and you're a loser. And the sad part is, I'm not even very successful. And I'm less of a loser than you are, because I'm not sitting there belly aching, waiting for somebody else to remove the barriers in front of me. That's a sad, pathetic excuse for behaving like that. Don't do that. And what it says to somebody like me is, not only are they not willing to put forth the effort to get much better, they're belly aching and complaining and making excuses for why they shouldn't have to. And you're going, okay, just totally lost respectability. Totally lost respectability. You have zero with me. I may be lazy, but I know the source of my problem. It's because I'm lazy. You're probably lazy too, but you don't know what the source of your problem is. You couldn't fix it if your life depended on it, because you're too busy pointing at everybody else and saying they're holding you back. Garbage! Garbage! Absolute garbage! This is white trash calling you out! Ooh! Somebody who's lower on the totem pole than you are just called you out if you're one of those sorts of people. Either you're playing the victim because you've been taught to, and boy, you should stop listening to people that taught you that. Because you know what? They, social justice warriors, I don't know what they are, teachers, whoever, they are using you as a tool. And you're letting them. Oh my gosh. That's the first thing you've got to rise out of. You're going to say, you know what? I'm not a victim. And you know what? I'm not going to let you use me as a tool anymore. You can sit there all day long after I'm rich and famous and point at me and say, I helped him get where he is. And you know what? After I'm rich and famous, I don't care. I can even say, you know what? Great, whatever. Here, have a dollar. You know, or whatever. Or you could call him out and say, you know what? What you actually did was you told me that the best thing I could be was to be kind of under your thumb and taking handouts that you were able to provide for me. And oh, aren't you wonderful? And it's like, yeah, I don't know. You know, you can say that was fine if you want to, but the problem is you're just encouraging more people to be victims. When you start as a social justice warrior, you're a tool. Only a certain number of social justice warriors and very few of them ever rise from being just a tool to being a person that gets to handle the tools, gets to control the tools, you know, gets to... You are either a hammer or a person that gets to use a hammer when you're a social justice warrior. And I hope that you know that you're typically just a hammer. You might get some money for that. There's definitely some money to be made. I'm pretty sure that I make more money than most hammers do. You know what I'm saying? I'm sorry. Why don't you come help us? And you go, why? Why would I want to come help you? You're a tool. You're not anybody. If I want to affect change, I need to become your director, which is a pay cut and a lot of work, and frankly, because it's hurting cats. You know, it's trying to keep these people from just wandering off. Because anybody who has any sense will wander off from this. You don't see a lot of 40-year-old social justice warriors. Because, you know, it doesn't go well for them. It does not go well for them. And it isn't because they're going to die or something. They'll just decide that they've got to do something that has more value. That's what it kind of comes down to. You have to do something that has more value than that. I need to stop this one. It's a good time to stop this one. Because that's what it is. Oh, was I talking about Bill Cosby? Yeah. Bill Cosby. Who else is another one that you should probably listen to? Go listen to Bill Cosby. And you know, oh, he's so discredited. And you go, yeah, guess what it was? Cancel culture. He was one of the original cancel culture guys. I understand that. I was one of the first guys to call out one of my high school gym teachers for being abusive, using abusive training tactics. And, you can tell now, it's a good thing I didn't go into the military. He used abusive, whoa, big raindrops. Holy moly. We're going to get some rain. Fantastic. Hopefully it'll cool off. Anyway, but I got the F that never got taken away. a month later, after seeing me do it, several people threatened to do it, and that guy got called in and taken care of, and some other guys got F's, but their F's got cleared, but not mine, because I was the first. Or among the first. I don't know if I was the first or not. But I got to keep my F. You know, and you go, hey, that's the price you pay. You know, and I learned from it. I said, you know what? I don't think I'm going to be that guy anymore. Because although it sounds all noble and it sounds great and all that stuff, you know what? I still have that F to deal with. I still got scholarships. I might not have gotten the great scholarships that I probably could have gotten because I was smart. I didn't have to work hard, but I was smart. And the problem is smart can only get you so far. It's like everything else. Being black can only get you so far. I was smart. It can only get you so far. You need other attributes to make it through, to really rise to the next level. And to be honest, I don't think I ever really did. I did ultimately go after something that I was more better suited for, that paid more money. And I'm grateful for that. I'm getting there. I'm getting there for being grateful for that. I'm still, you know, I still hang out a little bit around people who think they're really noble for, you know, not chasing after money, not doing stuff like that. And I, you know, fine. If that's what you want to do, that's okay. Do I think anything of it? Not really. You know, this is, no, you were probably just not, you know, you might not have wanted to rise to that level. And you go, that's fine. I didn't either. I took one of those bigger management jobs, and I didn't want to mess with it. I did it for a little while, didn't like it. Didn't like the kind of person I was having to become to try and get it done. I think that was pretty much it. I couldn't control my emotions, I think, appropriately. That, and I think I'm kind of handicapped that way too. And I'm not doing that just say, well, it's something external. I said, no, I probably could have overcome it. I just didn't. So there it is. Ta-da! You know? But yeah. No. When anybody tries to start virtue signaling, they just, I mean, it's like, whatever. You know? You can think whatever you want to about it. It doesn't mean I agree with it. Regardless. Wow, okay, I need to stop this recording. I want to start another one about something of a different subject. Because I was thinking about this morning. I'm sure it's something that Lisa really kind of gets worried about. And she doesn't want me talking about publicly, which makes these recordings perfect. Because almost nobody can get to these. Almost nobody knows where these things are. And they certainly don't. Oh my gosh. The potholes here are just amazingly terrible. Whew. I already had to replace one rim over the potholes on this interstate highway. And I'm through the toughest part, so I need to stop now and come back and record some more in a little bit. So talk to you later. Bye-bye.